And again, I want to welcome Alpheria here today, and we are grateful to have him. We have supported and partnered with Al for
long time,
20-something years, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And a lot of transitions taking place over the years, and Al's going to share a little bit with you about where things are at with his ministry, but first and foremost, he's going to bring us God's Word. So, Al.
Thank you, Doug. I'll be reading from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, actually a little earlier than I said here, 1 verse 40 through 2:12. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum again, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Please be seated. I've been coming here since the 90s, I think. I remember even when Pastor Doug Klein was here. I've seen Pastor Odendahl, then Pastor John, and Pastor Doug for 15 years now. So I've come here as a single missionary guy, a young married, young kids. My daughter Emma is back next to the Yankees, and my wife was reminding us that one time we came here when she was little with her brother Joel, and they were fighting over the mic in front here. They each wanted to talk or something like that. So we have fun memories of coming here for vacation Bible schools and different opportunities. I'm going off record here for a minute, but we've lived a lot of transition in our lives as missionaries, and we've seen lots of colleagues come and go. So transition can be hard. Seeing pastors leave can be hard. But God continues his work. He'll continue to work in the Walkers' lives in Florida and continue at Grace Chapel. So it's, you know, some people like change more than others, but God's still guiding the ship, and he'll continue to guide you and move in his way. I heard an illustration recently that's like sometimes you like to control the script and have God as part of our script when it's convenient. But really, God's the one who should be guiding, and we're part of his story. And sometimes there's things that come up that are completely out of our plot line, but it's much better when God's guiding the story, and much greater things happen when we do that. This is my family a couple months ago on Father's Day. Joel is a high school senior now. He's the tallest in our family. And next to him is Emma, who's back there. She's a junior. We did some college visits this week. Liz is next to her. She's going to eighth grade. And John is our little guy. He's almost 8 years old. And my wife, Nicole, is over there, too. John has changed our lives dramatically. All our kids have, but especially John. 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with autism. We knew something was different with him. We weren't quite sure, but it was clearly diagnosed. And that's led us on a surprising change of many things in our lives, including leaving 20 years of ministry in France to come back to the U.S. for his care, and now focusing on disability ministry. That is something we never imagined doing. We never even thought of until John was diagnosed. But God has his ways of putting things in our lives, often beyond our control, to change our plot line for something even greater. I hated leaving France, and that was my plan A for the rest of my life, I thought. But God had a whole new plot line with disability. And I do a lot of reading in the Gospels now about disability, about God's working. One of my favorite stories is the one here about the healing of the paralytic. This happened in the town of Capernaum, which is where Jesus spent a lot of time. Many scholars think that this was actually in the house of Peter in Capernaum. And Jesus became so famous after he healed the leper. The leper wasn't supposed to tell anyone, but he did. And Jesus couldn't go about freely because of that. And so he's back in Capernaum. Word gets out there, and he continues to preach to the people, talk to the people, but there's no room in the house. And this morning, as I was thinking about this story, I was thinking about our lives. Sometimes we have so much going on, there's no more room. We have no space for those that really need God's touch in their lives. And so the four friends of the paralytic find a way when it's not there. They climb up and they go through the roof and lower him down. And I was thinking, where in my life do I need to maybe have some tiles taken out so that people that are needy can be brought to Jesus? And I think our churches as well, possibly we're so busy with what we have going, have so much going, we don't have room or space for those really needy that need God's touch. I love the creativity of the friends and the determination of them to find another way. And in my discovering disability ministry the last 5 years, I've been amazed at some of the creativity that is taking place as people try to reach out to their disabled friends. Night to Shine is a big special needs prom that Tim Tebow Foundation started. Last year, there were over 100,000 guests in all 50 states and in 25 countries, I believe, with 200,000 volunteers helping them. That's a way of blessing many thousands of people with disabilities. There's a ministry called Capernaum, named after this story, that's done by Young Life. I saw a poster in the back about Young Life. I don't know if you host it here, but Young Life is very creative in all they do. They started something called Capernaum, which is for 14 to 22-year-olds with disabilities. And I work with that in New Jersey, and it's next to my kids. I think they're my favorite teenagers in the world. I love seeing. Sorry. Seeing them hear the gospel in ways that make sense to them, have community. We even have a room where the parents come and hang out together. And so even the parents are getting a touch of Christian community. Some are already believers, some aren't. And so the whole family is being touched by Capernaum in many different places. The one I work with in northern Jersey and Wyckoff has gotten so big, we had to split it into two. So there's one at in Suffern, New York, just over the border, and there are one still in Wyckoff. And so it's grown in a year and a half from a handful of people to needing two clubs. And there's a great need all over the place for Capernaums and Night to Shines and things like that. In this story, Jesus sees the faith of the four friends. With people with disabilities, there's different capacities, and sometimes we don't understand what they're understanding even, but they need to hear the gospel. Our son, John, our church in New Jersey has a great program, a buddy system. He's integrated into the regular Sunday school, so he's hearing the gospel. He has an adult that accompanies him during the service, so he's with someone. But every Sunday, John is hearing the gospel. It seems like John understands a lot nowadays. So, you know, we don't know in terms of Christ and all that what he's understanding. But I think with all of us anyway, salvation is a miracle. The Holy Spirit somehow has us understand about our need for Jesus and opens our hearts in that way. So we pray for John that he's understanding, and for other kids with disabilities as well. But in this case, it seems like it's the faith of the four friends rather than the faith of the person of the paralytic. And Jesus, to me, it was surprising. He says, your sins are forgiven, rather than be healed right away. It seems for me I'd focus perhaps more on the disability. But all disabilities, which we all have one way or another, go back to sin, the fall of Adam and Eve. And so we all need to be forgiven. And so he hits on that issue. In another text, it says there's in Matthew or Luke, there's Pharisees that are watching Jesus, things like that. And so they're shocked and outraged by Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven, because of that, implying that Jesus was God, which he was and is. And so Jesus knew that they were thinking that. And so he raises the question, why are you thinking these things? What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? I pray that, you know, the young people and others with disabilities I'm coming across are sensing God's forgiveness and God's working in their hearts. I've been very encouraged recently by all the different initiatives I'm learning about of disability in churches, in organizations, and all that. And so I think we're going to have a harvest this next season toward people with disabilities and seeing what God does in their lives. Paul talks about how the body needs all the parts, even some that seem weaker. And people with disabilities allow a church to reach out to basic needs, I think, and to show compassion in a very strong way. Our church, Liquid, is known throughout the community for our special needs things. And so that is a strong testimony, even among non-believers, of God's love and compassion toward those with disabilities. Jesus heals the paralytic in this case. He's able to take up his mat and go and walk, and there's great rejoicing. It's exciting when there are things like this that happen. It seems often in the world this isn't the norm. People in wheelchairs aren't able to get up and walk, and blind people often stay blind. Hearing impaired people often stay hearing impaired. We praise God when he works miraculously, but that doesn't always happen. But the need for forgiveness is still there, and the need for God's power to sustain them and their families is needed. And the need for places and churches for them is necessary. My dream in New Jersey and New York and elsewhere is to have, within a 15-minute drive, strong disability churches so that people can go somewhere that's close without having to drive a long way, where they're accepted, where their families are accepted, and where the church and the church leaders are thinking about how to be more welcoming. Kind of like when they moved the roof tiles here, how can we be more welcoming to the families? How can we minister to them? Where I've seen disability ministry done well, it grows very fast because there's a strong network of people with different disabilities, and they tend to tell their friends, and so on, and so on. And so it grows very fast. And so I pray this next season that around the New Jersey and Farmington Hills and the U.S. and even around the world, there's more inclusion of people with disabilities. I'm excited with my organization. They've given me the opportunity to help develop initiatives worldwide and encourage people doing that. And so it's gone from a New York thing to a worldwide thing since September. We appreciate your partnership with us as we do this. We loved having you with us in France. We never expected to be out of there, but God's plan has changed for us, obviously. And as we've tried to step into that wholeheartedly, he's amazed us with opportunity and a whole new set of friends of people we wouldn't know. Often God uses what seems really hard in our lives to develop our greatest ministries, I think. And so, you know, some people have, you know, they love to be married and God doesn't bring the right person along, or they love to, their marriage breaks up, or different things happen. There's health challenges. And God works through all the seasons in our lives as we turn them over to him for his glory and even for our good. I was at a morning Bible study yesterday in a diner, and one of the guys in it is a guy named Ray, who I remember him as a kid being a great Bible teacher, being very good with words and things like that. He's now in a wheelchair, and he kind of talks slowly and things like that. So as I was meditating, thinking about that, you know, God, we have value to God and to his family, whether we're great Bible teachers or whether we're no longer able to do that and need a lot of help. The church is a place where we should all be accepted no matter what condition we're in, whether strong or weak, and we all have a part to contribute to that. So I pray this next season for you as you transition to whatever God has in terms of leadership and things like that, that he'll guide you. I know he will. And give you encouragement during the changes that come. We have great affection for Grace Chapel and also for the Walker family. So hopefully we'll see you in Orlando sometime in the future as well. And we look forward to coming back and seeing you all again. We praise God for you and pray for courage and peace and hope and affection for each other as you go in its new season of ministry and of seeking God's face for the next season for Grace Chapel. God bless you.